It's always a joy to preach God's word. I'm really blessed this morning when Pastor Aaron says, stretch your hand towards the children. My wife stretched her hand towards me. Oh, I'm blessed. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can come to look at your words this morning, that you speak to each one of our hearts. We love your words, we honor your words, and we want to hear your words with joy. We want to obey your words, O God. We want your words to live in our hearts. We ask, touch us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So today is Acts chapter 4, and the title of my message is The Church in the World. That's the title of my message, The Church in the World. Now, the church is in the world, but we are not of the world. And we must never permit the world, that is the way of the world, or worldliness to enter our heart. Why? Because the church is the called out one. God has called us out. Out of where? God has called us out of the world. God has called us out of darkness. God has called us out of sin to be what? To be God's treasure, to be God's special and peculiar people, to be God's witness to a broken and lost and perishing world. So the church is in the world as what? As influential. We influence as the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Now, I know we always say we have to be relevant. Yes, the church must be relevant as light and as salt, but we cannot compromise or sacrifice our value as light and salt. If we do, then we lose our brightness and we lose our saltiness. When that happens, as the Bible says, we lose our influence. So the question, as Jesus said, what good are we? The early church knew their place in the world. They were passionate about her mission to the world. And they were passionate because of the power of the Spirit was upon them. And they knew. They knew that they could not do it without the power of the Spirit. Whatever they did, it was not hit and miss. It was not here and there. But continuously, they lived out their mission to the world as disciples of Jesus Christ. These are the three P's in chapter 4 that show us how the early church was sought and light with her outward mission, her upward mission, and her inward mission. So how were they as a church in the world? Her outward mission, proclamation from verse 1 to verse 22. I know it's a very big passage and I tried to condense them so that we do not have to read too many. Can you go to the Bible verse? And I want to read the Bible verse because when the church stopped to read the Bible in our preaching, very soon we will stop to turn to our Bible. So let's look in verse 1. The next slide, please. We find that this leader was disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. Then they were arrested and put in jail. But there were some who hear the message and they believe. And the Bible tells us, 5,000 believed, not counting the woman and the children. The next day, they brought Peter and John before the leaders, and they asked them, by what power or in whose name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we have done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? He was healed by the powerful name of what? By the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazareth. The man you crucified, but God raised him from the dead, For Jesus is the one who is referred to in the scripture where he said, the stone that you builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Verse 12, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Look at the next verse. Then the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And these were just ordinary men. They don't have special training of scripture. Yet they recognize that this man has been with who? Has been with Jesus. So they ordered both of them out of the council, and then they have a discussion. And they said, we cannot deny what has taken place. A man that was 40 years crippled has been healed. We cannot deny it. So they called them back, and then they said to the apostle, we ask you, we command you not to speak in Jesus' name again. And the both of them replied, who should we fear? Who should we obey? God or man? Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. Then the council then threatened them further, but finally let them go because they were afraid that it may start a riot. But everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who has been lame for more than 40 years. The early church, you know, did not proclaim prosperity. Both of them say, silver and gold have I none. They did not proclaim a good life message because they suffered for the gospel of Jesus Christ that today we have been blessed with. But rather, wherever they went, with every opportunity, whether among individual or among the crowd, with the reality of Jesus Christ, this Jesus whom they had seen, the reality of Jesus Christ fresh in their heart and in their mind, they could not help it but proclaim that Jesus Christ is the one crucified and now resurrected. They preached Jesus, spoke about Jesus, prayed Jesus, and declared that Jesus is the one who has healed this lame man. They were bold. Now, fearless, uncompromising, when they proclaimed that it was by the powerful name of Jesus Christ was this man healed. Was the religious leader priest? No. The religious leader persecuted them. You know, the early church was first persecuted not by unbeliever, but by what? The religious leader, the old establishment, the old white scheme, they persecuted the church. But thank God, the Bible tells us in the midst of this, 5,000, not counting the women and children, were added to the church. Now, they were persecuted. And today I know we as Christians do have a hard time. Sometimes people don't like us, they laugh at us, they ridicule us. But Jesus told the disciples this, that if they persecute him, they will also be persecuted. He said in John chapter 15, if the world hates you, you know that it hates me before it hates you. If you were of the world will love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. I remember when I was a young Christian, as a teenager, my pastor used to say, if the world loves you, there's something wrong with your faith. Remember that, Pastor Kara? And we realize as Christians, we will be persecuted. And I thank God my parents were non-believers when I became a Christian. They persecuted me for my faith. I thank God for that because it strengthened my faith. So Jesus said that we must proclaim the unchanged, uncompromised, and the unaltered gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's only in Jesus' name there is salvation possible. Verse 12 says, as Peter echoed this word, neither is there salvation in any other name. Say amen to that. No other name, For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so, Paul said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not in any popular leader's, religious leader's name, but only in whose name? In the name of Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven, the only name above all other names, the only name that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the only name that can be saved. Now, people may call us arrogant, intolerant, narrow-minded, when we assert Jesus is the only name, the only way, and there is no other name, other way to God. But let me tell you, we did not make this claim that he is the only way, the only name. We did not make this claim. Who made this claim? Jesus Christ himself. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Again, he said in John, I am the door. No one can enter it except through this door. He said, I am the gate. No other gate except me. So Jesus is the one. No religious leader in the world has ever made this claim except Jesus. Only Jesus is the Son of God. Only Jesus died on the cross for our sin. Only Jesus rose from the dead. Only Jesus can forgive sin and change life. Only Jesus ascended to the Father. And only Jesus will return back for his people. Our purity will criticize and condemn us when we stand on this claim that Jesus is the only way. And I've seen popular Christian leaders string from this stand. When asked, is Jesus the only way, the only name? They cannot give a straight answer of yes. But they will reply in these colorful words, God knows. Our job is to proclaim he is the only way. The day we do not believe he is the only way, we will stop talking about Jesus Christ. He is not Jesus plus any other thing plus Jesus. He is Jesus and only Jesus. Say amen to that. You see, the claim of Jesus, I'm the way and the only way, the only name to be saved, cannot be surrendered for religious acceptance or interfaith unity. We must be faithful to proclaim the gospel in our day. Yes, it will offend and upset some segment of society. The gospel is offensive to the natural mind and will cause opposition from some. But we must not string back, say amen. And like the early church, we must always say this, who do we choose to obey? Who do we choose to please? Who do we choose to fear? God or man? I choose God. And I'm sure you also choose God. Dr. James Stewart, not Stewart Tan, it's James Stewart. He's the professor of theology from Abraham University. He said, it is a terrible thing when the church is content to cultivate inoffensiveness. Has this one become of the Western church? We try not to offend. We try to be nice. These disciples, unlearned disciples, they were unmovable on this claim that Jesus is the only name, the only way to salvation, simply because they have been with Jesus. Verse 13. They cannot stop telling people everything they've seen and heard. And that is part of proclamation. The part of proclamation is to tell what we have seen and heard, telling his story. And then they choose to obey God and man, to fear God and man. Verse 19. How about you? How about you? The idea of an unoffensive gospel is unreal, unattainable, and unscriptural. The proclamation of the gospel was foolish to the Gentiles, offensive to the Jews, and it has not changed. So, like the early church, our outward mission is to proclaim the story. We are to proclaim the gospel. We proclaim the gospel. And then we be ready for what? Bad response. But we must also be ready for what? Good response. 5,000 believe. But we must also be ready for what? No response. But our job is to proclaim. This is our outward mission. Then we look at the inward mission of the church. Prayer. From verse 23 to verse 31. The Bible scripture, please. As soon as they were free, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priest and elder had said. When they hear the report, all the believers lift up their voice together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit to your ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nation so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plan? The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers gather together against the Lord and against his Messiah. Verse 27, in fact, this has happened here in this very city. Herod Antipas and Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anoint. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threat and give us, your servant, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonder be done to the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting took place and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. The early church knew the power of prayer. Jesus taught them how to pray. They saw Jesus praying regularly. They plucked the power of prayer by depending on the Holy Spirit. So they pray for one another, pray for the church, pray for their needs, pray for the unsaved. They pray when things go well. They pray when things, when they are in difficult time. They pray, pray, and pray. Peter and John were arrested, beaten, and released. They did not give up or give in. They did not hide or run away in fear. They went to who? The community, the disciple of Jesus Christ, the household of faith, and report what happened to them. They went to who? The community. And what was the community? Was a support group. People of the same mind, same heart, same purpose, same value, and same belief system. In GCC, our support group is our powerhouses. And I want to know, let you know, the powerhouses here is led by great and caring leaders. Say amen to them. As Pastor Aaron have called you, join one of them if you have not. You need the powerhouse, and the powerhouse needs you. It is your support group for encouragement and strength. Together in the powerhouse, you can champion one another, cheer one another, and care for one another in prayer and practical support. So, when Peter and John were released, where did they went to? They went to their support group. And when they went to the support group, they did not have a pity party. Oh, poor old me. They did not have a complaint party. Why me? But they have a what? They have a prayer meeting. They have a prayer meeting. They lift up their voice to God. Their prayer was not silent prayer. And prayer that say, please God, prayer. Their prayer was not spare us prayer. Their prayer was not deliver us prayer. Their prayer was not God punish them prayer. Their prayer was powerful prayer. Prayer agreement. They joined their hearts and hands as one voice to God. They raised their voice to God in one accord. Verse 24. Together they pray. That is the power of the prayer of agreement. It must not be understated. The power of the prayer of agreement. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30. One shall chase 1,000, and two put 10,000 to fly. And in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, again I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make a symphony together about anything, everything, anything they may ask, it shall come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. They come together, they unite their heart together, they agree, and they pray. That's the power of praying together, the power of agreement. In a horse pulling event in Canada, one horse was able to pull 9,000 pounds. Another horse was able to pull 8,000 pounds. You think that when you put the two horses together, it should be 17,000 pounds. No, when they put the two horses together and harness the strength of the two horses, they were able to pull 30,000 pounds, three times more than what one horse could do. Likewise, God's power is released greater through the power of agreement, to praying together. Yes, we need private prayer, we need personal prayer, individual prayer, but we also need corporate prayer, praying together, praying agreement in the Father's will to experience greater breakthrough, greater miracles, greater deliverance. And today, Pastor Aaron did not make the announcement, but I will announce to you, Wednesday night at 7 p.m. at Nolamara is our prayer meeting. We hope to see you. This week, take the hand of your spouse and your children and pray over your need. Pray over your marriage. Pray over your children. Pray over your family and agree together. And let me tell you one thing. There can never be too many prayers in our stressful and troubling world. Pray. The disciple prayer was not about themselves. It was not about their trouble. It was about the greatness of God. Lord, you are God. You make heaven and earth and the sea and all there is in them. They did not focus on the enemy threat, but they choose to focus on God, who is great, who is in control, who has the final say in everything and all things. This week, who do you want to focus? What do you want to focus? You want to focus on your problem and trouble, or focus on the greatness of God? When you focus on the greatness of God, it increases your faith and trust in God, who was, who is, and is to come. Then they use the scripture to pray. Verse 22 and verse 25 and 26 is taken from Psalm chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. Why are the nations so angry? Why do they waste their time in futile plan? The king of the earth prepare for battle. The ruler plot against the Lord and against his anointed one. They use scripture to pray, because when you use scripture, authority and faith arise in you. When you quote the scripture in prayer, you are saying to God, God, you will keep your words. Your word is true. Your word that is spoken forth will not return back void. And God, your words will accomplish what you say. So, use scripture to pray. Are you lonely? Sometimes you feel you are all alone. See Jesus as your friend and pray using Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. I will never leave you or forsake you. Are you weary? Tired? See Jesus as your strength and pray from Isaiah 40 verse 31. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. God, I thank you, you are my strength. I wait upon you, you will renew my strength. And I know when you renew your strength, when you touch me, I will be able to mount as wings of eagle. I know, God, I will not be down, but I will be up. I will not lay down, but I will be able to rise up and run. And I will not be weary, and I will not faint, but I will walk. That's how you use scripture to pray. And the early church used scripture to pray because the early church believed the word of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say to them? That the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That nothing can stop the church. How about you? Based on the belief, they pray powerful prayer based on scripture, based on the character of God, based on the promise of the sovereign God. When they say, "Oh, sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything that is in them." And I tell you about the early church, their prayer was not retreat prayer, was not retirement prayer. It was onward Christian soldier. And now, oh God, hear their threat. God, we are not denying their threat. We are not denying that they're giving us a difficult time. We are not denying what they do. Hear their threat. Give your servant great bonus. They did not pray, "God, you hear their threat, remove them, judge them, send fire from heaven." They did not pray all these things because they accept the fact that he that lives a righteous life will be persecuted. That when you stand and believe for Jesus Christ, people don't like you. They accept the fact. Have we tried in our Western church, tried to be nice so that they will accept us? Jesus said, "The world will not love you. If the world loves you, there's something wrong on what you believe and what you stand for." So they did not deny the threat. They did not deny God to judge them, to send fire on them. They said, "God, give us boldness to preach your word." The more they are against us, all, make us more bold. Make us stop more. We don't want to stop. Because, God, we ask not only give us boldness, stretch your hand. Stretch your hand with healing power. We need to see great signs and wonder. We need to see things done in no other name than the name of Jesus Christ. This is what the Western church needs today. Not entertainment, but the power of the living God. Then the world will see that there is a God that is among his people. They pray and expect God to answer. Indeed, God answered their prayer with greater power, greater bonus, greater miracle, and greater grace to do and to continue his work. It's time, individually and corporately, to take Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 seriously. Jesus said there, they ought always to pray and not to turn what? Coward, faint, lose heart, and give up. The challenge is, when it is hard on us, we should be what? Praying. Praying for what? Greater strength, greater boldness to stand for what we believe, not to deliver us. Lastly, we look at the outward mission of the early church, proclamation. The upward mission of the early church, pray. And lastly, the inward mission of the early church is this P. I call it practice. Practice. Look at verse 32 to verse 37. Bible verse, please. All the believers were united in hearts and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. When you feel what you have is not your own, it's called what? It's called stewardship. When you feel what you own is your own, it's called what? Ownership. So they feel what they have is not their own, it's called what? Stewardship. And the apostle testified powerfully to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and God's grace blessing was upon them. Then there were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostle to give to those in need. For instance, there was Joseph, the son of one of the apostles named Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostle. Now, one thing I want you to know, the early church was going to go through great persecution. Great persecution was coming. And persecution came. What the Christians have were also confiscated and taken. God foresee that to happen. So, when persecution came from chapter 8 on, I believe, those who have sold and give, what have they lost? Nothing. Those that have kept, what do they lose? Everything. One man asked a very rich man who became bankrupt, and this is a true story. He gave a lot of money to the university, Yale University, all this big university. And they, when he became a bankrupt, they asked him, "Do you regret giving all those money, millions, to the university?" And he said this, "Whatever I give, I didn't lose. Whatever I kept, I lost." So, I'm not talking about giving this morning. But what I'm talking about this word called practice. Say with me, practice. Come on. Practice. You're saying it not loud enough to practice. Christianity is not and never watch and see. Never watch and command or watch and watch. What is Christianity? Christianity is watch and do. Watch and obey. Watch and practice. The disciple watched Jesus, what he did. And then Jesus sent them out two by two to practice what Jesus did. Practice. One part of our inward mission is to practice what Jesus did and to practice what we are commanded to be and to do. So what were they commanded? They were commanded to love one another. Not just with words, but practical action. And they share what they have. We see that they have one heart and one mind. And then they were willing to share so that those that are needy among them, their need was met. Let me tell you, it is not in our human nature to share. We will share our problem. We will share our trouble. We will share our burden. We will share our load. But to share what we have in our hand, it's not in our human nature. Because what? We are grapper and what? Taker. Do you see baby born with their hand open or their hand crunched? Their hand is crunched. So since the day they are born, gimme, gimme, gimme. That is the human nature. So, to practice what is written here, to practice what is written here, you need what? Generosity. And how can you have generosity? It must come from what? The empowerment of what? The Holy Spirit. They empower their heart to be generous. So, in the New Testament, there are two principles in the New Testament perspective on sharing. Principle number one, the strong bear the weak. Say amen to that. The strong bear the weak. No one can confidently say, "I'm strong, I'm well, I'm okay, I'm winning, I'm up all the time." No one can. Every one of us, at one time or another, will experience some form of weakness, tiredness, defeat, discouragement, fainting, and weariness in our life. So what God command? God command is this. The strong ought to what? Oppress the weak. The strong ought to take advantage of the weak. That's how the world is. The world is the strong will oppress and take advantage of the weak. But the Bible principle is this. The strong ought to what? Bear the weak. Here we find Romans chapter 15, verse 1 to verse 3. Those of us who are strong and able in faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who are faulty and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not what? Not status. That's what the Bible says. Strength. What you have is for service, not for what? Status. Until we practice what the Bible says, according to His enablement and His grace, the world will never see that we truly love one another. Each of us need to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, what do you ask? How can I help? Not, what can I commend? What can I judge? What can I say? But each of us should simply ask, how can I help? That is exactly what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? The Bible in Acts chapter 10, verse 38 said, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, went about doing what? Doing good. By His own strength? By the Holy Spirit. Exactly what Jesus did. He did not make it easy for Himself by avoiding people's trouble, but wanted right in and help out. I took on the troubles of the trouble is the way of Scripture. This morning, among us, there will be people who are weary by the fast pace of life, weary by the ongoing problem, weary by the uncertainty of tomorrow, weary by the delayed prayer to answer to prayer. How many of you are there? I tell you, pray, God, why don't you answer me? Oh, it does. Delayed prayer does weary you. To the strong, the Scripture call the strong to bear the weak, to share your strength with them, to bear the burden with them. Because what? Because your strength, you may have strength today, but you cannot guarantee that you will have strength tomorrow. How many of you realize that? Today you may be strong, you may be doing well, have victory after victory, health is good, everything is going well for you, but tomorrow, everything can change. A man or a woman that is healthy says, can have a meal with you today, tomorrow can end up in hospital. Nobody knows. But there is no guarantee that tomorrow will be the same. So why do the strong bear the weak? You share with others today so that others will share with you tomorrow. You encourage others today so that others will encourage you tomorrow. You show grace and mercy towards others so that others will likewise do to you tomorrow. Because the harvest of tomorrow depends on what you sow what? Today. You don't sow today, don't expect harvest tomorrow. You sow today, you may sow to this person, but harvest may not come from this person. God will send harvest from another person because all of us belongs to the Lord. And I come to principle number two. The have help. I have helped the I have not. That I have not is very small print now. Cannot see, eh? Can you see? If you cannot see, because you have not. That's why it's such a small print. That's the Bible. Principle, the have helped the have not. The ministry of help is available to all of us. You do not need to be spiritual, to be knowledgeable, to be rich to do it. Just give and help with what is in your hand. It may be not much to you, but it is enough. What you see in your hand is not much, but when you help someone, it is enough to lift up the spirit of I don't have and the needy. These two principles were practiced by the early church, and we read about Barnabas, the son of encouragement. He was named as one of them. Apostle Paul was an example himself. He said, I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need. By working hard, you should remember the word of the Lord Jesus. He is what? What is he? He is more what? Blessed to give than to receive. I rather help people than people help me. Don't you think so? I rather visit someone in the hospital than someone visit me in the hospital. How many of you say that? I'm telling you, that's the Bible. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And why are we doing that? We are doing it not to win boundary points. We are doing it because Jesus Christ did it himself. So we are just following him. And how did Jesus do it? The Son of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, went about doing good. If the Son of God needs the Holy Spirit empowerment to do good, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit empowerment? And we did not help to gain points from God. We help simply because we are following Jesus. You know, our sister Anna is with the Lord. A few days ago, the son called me and said to me, did my mother promise the church anything? On the phone, I told him, I want you to know, the church has helped your mom, not so that we can get anything. Say amen to that. The church has helped your mom because she was needy. Therefore, we as a church must what? Help. That's what we are. That's what the Bible talks about, James. If you see a brother that is naked, don't say, I'll pray for you. Give him some clothes to wear. If you see a brother who is hungry, don't say, well, I have a good lunch. Give that poor fellow something to eat. That's what the Bible talks about. Because no matter how common, how small, how little, how unimportant, how insignificant, God is able to use what you have to bless and cheer those who do not have. God holds you responsible for what you have and not what you do not have. Starting from today, use what's in your hand to bless and help the needy. The early church was not a self-centered and passive church, but they were actively promoting, actively praying, and actively practicing the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, not with their own ability and strength, but with the power of the Holy Spirit. Great City Church must be the church that walk in the power of the Spirit and actively proclaim, actively pray, and actively practice. Say amen to that. Because this is the word of Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:9 to the church. Keep putting into what? Practice. Keep on doing. It's not perfect. Keep on doing. Keep on doing. Keep on doing till it become your second nature. Keep on doing till it become part of you. Keep on doing till it transforms you, it changes you. Keep on doing till you are never the same again. That's what Christianity is about. And I'm trying to practice it. How about you? Paul said, keep on practicing all that you learn and receive from me. Don't keep it in the safe. Don't bury it in the ground. Don't put it in the shelf. He said, keep on practicing all you learn and receive from me. Everything you hear from me and saw me doing. Then the peace of God will be with you. Come on, let's pray. The church and the world, chapter 4. What is the church and the world for? The church and the world is to be a proclaimer. The church and the world is to be a prayer, praying. The church and the world is to be a practicer, practicing. This morning, we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. This morning, I pray that God will give you boldness to proclaim what you see and heard. To proclaim His story. That God will give you boldness. Of course, you also need wisdom. I pray that you will catch the fire of prayer, the importance of prayer. And I pray, by the grace of God, that you practice. You practice what you have learned. As the pastors in Grace City Church try their best in the power of the Spirit to practice, may their example inspire you to practice likewise. Let me hand it to Pastor Aaron.
Thank you, Pastor Stewart. Shall we just spend a bit of time, just a few minutes, just to reflect and to pray? Would you bow your heads? And I believe that this morning the Lord is speaking. I can feel the Lord speaking to me even as well. I want to encourage us to respond to the Lord. Called to proclaim, to pray, and to practice. The Lord Jesus has set the example. The apostles have followed His example and set us an example as well. And we too are called to proclaim, to pray, and to practice. So in which of these areas is the Lord speaking to us on? Are these three areas the Lord speaking to us on? Let us respond to the Lord. Shall we rise and pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word to us this morning. Lord, it is loud and it is clear. And we pray, O Father, that even as we submit ourselves to your word, we submit ourselves to your Spirit, we ask, Holy Spirit, would you come and continue to speak to us, continue to prompt us, continue to convict us, and help us to respond to you in faith, in obedience, and in courage. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you give us the grace and the strength to respond to your word, to live truly for you in accordance to your word. Not just to your word in general, but to your specific word to each of us personally. And Lord, we know, Lord, that you are for us, you are not against us, and that you desire, Holy Spirit, to reveal and to glorify Christ in and through us. So we willingly yield ourselves to you, Holy Spirit, and we pray, would you come and transform us, transform our lives individually and as couples, as families, as a church, O Father. And Lord, we pray that you will use us for your glory, that our hands, our feet, and our lips will be your hands, your feet, and your lips. That truly we will be, O Lord, not just the salt and light, but the expression, the exemplification of your love and your light to the people around us, starting here in the household of faith, and to the people that's around us in the world. That, Lord, that we may carry your light and be shining beacons, O Lord, of your light for you, even in the world around us. That people will encounter Christ and be drawn to Christ because of the light that is of Christ that is in us. So we offer ourselves to you this morning once again, and we respond to you. Help us, O Lord, even in this. We ask all these now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you lift your hands for the benediction? And now may God fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life that's worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and give joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed Sunday, everyone. A blessed week ahead. I want to encourage you to have some fellowship with us outside there. And even if you are able to respond to the Lord with this song as the worship team leads, let's respond together to the Lord.